Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
キスナー、ハーレーキスナー、ギスナーギスナー、ハーレーハーレー、ハレラーマ、ハレラーマ、ラマラマ、ハーレーハーレー。Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Chila Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai. Jaya Radha Kunya Vihare Radha Kunya Vihare Radhe Sede Sirare Sede
This afternoon, I want to prepare all of us for the coming day, tomorrow, where we have our 64 ounce day. And I thought to bring to your attention something which was just sent to me. Prayers to Mother Japamala. It's called like this. It is this prayer session which I intend to send over the emails to devotees who want to receive it. And it really shows a little bit what we have discussed this morning. A progression of becoming attentive to Krishna's identity with the holy name, attentive to the meaning of the holy name, and also attentive to our need for the contact. It is very important when you chant the holy name that you understand it is a service for Krishna. A service which you do with devotion. It's really not so much necessary that you experience the highest state of Nama Ruchi. It is more important that you understand it's a yakya, it's a sacrifice. So when you pick up your japa mala, there is a prayer which alerts you to the fact that it's a yakya. It goes like this. The sacrifice of the name is the highest yakya. which destroys the contamination of Kali Yuga. In order to please Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer this sacrifice of the holy name. I think this brings a total new dimension to our chanting, that we are chanting for Krishna, to please Krishna, or, as it is said here, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In order to please Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer the sacrifice of the holy name. So when you sit down to chant, you should think, I'm sitting down to offer a yakya. It's for the pleasure of the personality who receives this yakya. There's another prayer which you chant when you pick up your beads for japa. Avignam kuru maletvam harinama japeshu cha Shri Radayo Radha Krishna Yodasyam Dehi Maletu Prataye Nama Chintamani Rupam Namaiva Paramagati Namna Parataram Nasti Tasmang Nama Upasmahe. O Mala, you actually pray to your Japa Mala. Please destroy inauspiciousness in my chanting of the holy name of Lord Hari and grant me the position of service to Radha and Krishna. You actually pray to your mala, please destroy inauspiciousness while I chant. The greatest inauspiciousness is that you are absent-minded. So the mala is actually put up and taken with the thumb and the middle finger. And when these two fingers touch, you know, over the bead, it is described that some, now it gets really esoteric, just fasten your seat belts, please, that some pranic connection is made, which is good for concentration. That's why we actually use these fingers. It's a yogic thing. When this prana is there, when this connection is there, then the concentration is there. This is the idea of chanting. Now, whenever you get a little problem in chanting, concentrating your mind, just connect with your Japa Mala, Mother Japa Mala, as she is called. O Mala, please destroy inauspiciousness in my chanting of the holy name of Lord Hari. You know, to speak about this in biophysical terminology, it means fix your mind on the fingers as they touch the malas. To help us concentrate in fixing our mind on the touch of the mala, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when you chant Hare Krishna, you should feel that you touch with your hands the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. It's again a meditation on the fingers, you know, bringing your consciousness where this prana flow is, and there's a concentration. And grant me the position of service to Radha and Krishna. This is all I pray for, O Mala. So when you pick up your Japa Mala, I will send you these prayers so that you can relish them. But the idea is when you pick up your mala, be concentrated. You are now with the mala, your hands is with the mala, and by putting your consciousness into this act for act of mindfulness, being with your mala, you will see an effect on your power of concentration. Hare Krishna. This is just something on prayers to Japa Mala. As I said again, this is very beautiful. Just someone researched it for me. I have so many Japa researchers, because no one will come to my Japa retreats if there is not new information, and They always carry new information on it. It's a culture of concentration. That's the point. Now, I thought for the evening, for the afternoon session, to do two things. To give you an effective japa reform in 6 steps, and then to chant with you in the presence of a pure devotee. Is that a good idea? But you might have heard already so much that are you still able to absorb a little bit more? We will have Janaka Maharaj. Is it Janaka Maharaj or just Janaka?
Sorry?
Janaka. Janaka Prabhuji. Please take your pens. Should we move it a little bit? To Lassi should be moved maybe here, but very careful, please. Don't jerk her. Everything you do is with the elegance of a yogi, Dayagaranga. No, honestly, thank you. Sanatan Goswami left us with six steps. And I would like to go with you through these steps. Mana samharanam shocham, mona mantra tachintanam, avyagratvang anirvedo, japa sampati hetavaha. The translation of this verse, which you will find in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, 17th wave, wave means Vilas, text 129 is, if you wish to perfect your chanting of japa, you need to cultivate the following 6 qualities. 1. Control of the mind. 2. Internal and external purity. 3. Silence. 4. Contemplation of the mantra's meaning. 5. Patience. And 6. Steadfastness. Let us go through each one of the elements. Let us also see if our Janak Mahajan is sorry. No Mahajan, no Maharaj. I understand. Just Janak. I can't see from here up till which Sri. Who remembers what was number 3? Silence, correct. Silencio. Control of the mind was 1. Internal and external purity was 2. 3 was silence. 4 was contemplation of the meaning of the mantra. 5. Patience. Good. And anyone remembers what was 6th? Huh? Steadfast. Fastness. It will become very clear in a moment. Yeah. So, Manasangharana, the first point means you can take your seat again, Janaka Maharaj. Thank you. Once it's in the mind, it just doesn't go out. Janaka Prabhuji. Control of the mind is very... Do you recognize what we have learned earlier? What could that mean? I'm sorry, Lenin? Being present in the present. Well, there was something which we learned from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It was to withdraw the mind from the sense objects. These are always, you can recognize in the instructions of the Shastras, we always find again and again the same things. I would now like to make it, because this is so obvious, so I would like to make a little, actually, I don't think I will do this with you because you are so saintly. Now, I wanted you to chant and then I wanted to throw different sense objects at you. In verbs, in words, in words. You know, pizza, olive oil. And your duty would be to keep on chanting, but I don't want to do this. It's you're too saintly. I mean, you're good devotees, so no, let us not do this. It really means to bring the mind back again and again to the chanting. Don't allow it to stay with the sense objects, which occupy our mind and stay like this. I must admit to you, today I'm preparing a seminar called The Lost Art of Spiritual Happiness, where you can learn to be, that's what the seminar is, to be happy spiritually. And I need a little information. What is happiness? What definitions are there? And one of my research scientists gave me an article from Der Spiegel about a history of the culture of happiness. But I asked him for the whole Spiegel, the whole magazine, because I know that usually a magazine like the Spiegel has one main article, but then small little contributing articles. And I wanted to also see what is written in the contributing articles. They usually research them quite well. But so as I looked into the Spiegel, I saw everything. I saw an advertisement for the movie Terminator. And I saw politicians, and I saw war scenes and so on. And then I remembered Prabhupada. He said, don't look at these magazines. They make the material world appear to be so real. But I noticed, as I was sitting down here, I saw a war, I saw Terminator. There's so much impurity in this world. That was just a magazine. When you go through this world, the sense objects just come at you and stick to the mind. So when you chant, you really need to clean it. And I always do a cleaning meditation, just like I sometimes once a week I clean up the mess on my writing table. I say, okay, before I do anything else, I just put everything at the right spot and let it all disappear in innumerable drawers, and then everything is clear. So when chanting, my dear devotees, you can do the same thing. There's such a congestion of sense objects in the mind, because we go through this world and it's just so absolutely they want to grab the mind, this world. I heard that there is now a new sport, women's football. They want the people to watch the women's football because it brings a lot of money for the TV. So in France, I heard they put three naked, beautiful women footballers, I mean, on the poster, and say, "Do you want us to go so far to catch your attention? That is to present ourselves naked. Should we do naked football so that you watch it?" It's Hare Krishna. It's really hopeless how these poor karmis are just embracing Maya, you know. So everything is just so in the creation language you say so groovy. Do you understand what this means? Groovy. Groovy means gross. This is just so groovy. And these things are designed, you know, behind this poster, watch the women's football, there are the best of psychologists working for salaries like $1 million to really design it, how they stand and how they look at you, that you really go like, that is almost, once your eyes are in that direction, it grabs you and pulls your brains out. This is how they do this with psychology 108, or I don't know, with really heavy tricks, you know, to just draw it out. So when you chant, especially in Kali Yuga, Mana Samharana, control of the mind is there. And just see your mind as a big room, my dear devotees. And then, you know, just like this table. Everything is now a mess on the table. Wait a minute, it's soon a mess. Then you go like this. All right. This. Thank you. That was unreachable. Out of the mind. Clean. This can go out of the window. Hare Krishna. Whoever owns this new TV set or whatever it is, don't worry, it will stay here. This you need to do repeatedly. Put it in order. Put the garbage out, which you don't need. I mean, this was all holy books and so on, but I think you get the point. Shocham, next point, internal and external purity. We all know that mental contaminations stick much more firm to us than dust, sweat, and mud. For internal cleanliness, it's important to weed the garden of the heart of the six types of weed mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you want to find out what you need to weed out of your mind, please read Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 12, text 135. There you will find what are the weeds, the unfortunate plants which grow. The next is Mona, silence. My dear devotees, I would like to give you a good inspiration for your spiritual practice. It's good to not talk during the japa, that you know, but it's also good to not talk nonsense outside of the japa. When you are outside the japa, say something better than silence. Say something better than silence. Something which makes more meaning, which is, but don't talk agitating talks and these entangling talks. I think when you learn to chant better japa, you will be more mindful also when you speak. When you speak, you will only talk about things you have thought about. But very often we make our life so difficult by just talking something, and then we have to revoke it. I didn't mean it like this, and we are entangled. A lot of talk nowadays takes place on the internet, where you write down things. Have you noted how careful you must be on internet to write things? Otherwise you write a letter and then you get two letters back, and you have to write five letters to correct the two letters and are all of a sudden entangled in your life. Say something better than silence, or write something better than silence. Mona. Mantrata chintanam. What does this mean? Contemplate the meaning of the mantra. I will jump over this point because we have sufficiently given it time. The next is patience. Patience means is you should not rush your chanting just to finish. Be patient. Don't rush the practice. Be with the practice. I always tell to the devotees, and I'm always telling it to me, because I have also this rushing mentality sometimes when there's just so much to do. I'm thinking, I'm here before the altar of the Lord. I'm perfectly situated. It's the best I can do in this incarnation. It's the best activity, the best time. Let me not rush this time. Let me stay with this time. And the last is anirveda, steadfastness. It means you should be persistent and not lose hope, even when you don't attain the expected results as quickly as you have hoped. Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a comment on this wonderful verse. He said, while chanting japa, remember Krishna's name with affectionate respect. Concentrate your mind on the chanting alone. Be pure in your mind, internal purity, and avoid speaking uselessly. Contemplate the mantra's meaning and remain patient. I just want to give you these things, and then you can sometimes refer to them. And as you look at these lists of six, or the lists of three, we have two three lists and one six list. You can look at them, and then after some time it just comes and you remember during the practice, oh, I should be patient now, don't rush. Or you think about, I should have a little internal purity here. I need to put my mind in order. Like in Radhadesh, we saw how the table, which was a mess, was put in order. And everything was taken away. Even the TV set was almost thrown out of the window. Hare Krishna. then you remember, maybe I should now, I have a few thoughts which are not exactly good. at this moment. Let me put them in order. No? And you think of other things. You think, oh, why am I so restless doing japa? Why do I always think about this conversation? Oh my God, I talked nonsense in the conversation and agitated the other devotees, and now they are always writing these emails to me. As a preacher, I have often seen how I preach something, but I'm for a moment inattentive and say something which does not sit well with one or two devotees, and they get terribly upset with me and write me emails, and there's nothing so shocking for me as receiving many emails. You know, doesn't matter what is inside, but just the quantity. Sometimes a day or 2 days, it's just too much. It's such a pile. I cannot go in the computer, so everything is printed out. It's so big. It's like a book in 2 days, you know. And that is so good in my case that I then remember. But in your lectures, better don't talk nonsense so that you don't have to write so many emails. Hare Krishna. So if you want to avoid bad consequences in your life, avoid prajalpic talking. Life gets very easy when you talk straightforward, truthful, helpful, and so on. Good. But after I have spoken about this again, I want to tell to you, my dear devotees, the main thing when you chant is not techniques. The main thing are blessings. And there are a few personalities who can bless you in your chanting the holy name. The greatest help which Prabhupada highlighted comes from Srimati Tulsi Devi. You must have heard yesterday how Radha wanted to meet Krishna and how her friend Chandranana advised her to start with a regular Tulsi Puja. Do you remember? Yeah. And then Tulsi appeared at the end and blessed Radharani, you will certainly meet Krishna. This is what Tulsi's power is. She has the power of blessings with her. She can bless us to meet Krishna. Therefore, if you feel that on your own strength you cannot really increase your chanting, don't despair. Tulsi can help you. Prabhupada writes about this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He talks about the chanting practice of Haridas Thakur, who always had a Tulsi plant before him. Do you remember? He just sat before Tulsi and chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In Padma Purana it says, if you want to control your mind, you should be in the presence of someone. No, you should think about someone who has already controlled his mind. So if you want to control your mind and in addition have devotional thoughts in your mind, you should chant in the presence of a pure devotee. You should chant in the presence of Tulsi Devi. Ashok, I really feel it would be good if you get a Tulsi plant in your house. Yes. Very good. I felt this is necessary, and you are confirming that you have already. Very good. It's very important. Now, those of you who cannot have a Tulsi plant because you are not good in gardening and the light and the humus, you know, the earth and the water is all very complex and difficult for you. have a picture of Tulsi Devi. And gaze at Tulsi Devi. You have benefit in when you have the benefit of having Tulsi's association when you look at Tulsi or gaze at Tulsi. So you can do that also with, on a picture. A very fresh Vrindavan Tulsi. And Tulasi Devi will help you not only to control your vrittis, your thought functions. Tulasi Devi's influence will also be that you are a little bit remembering, that you remember Krishna. That's why you should wear Tulsi Malas. Those of you who should purchase good Tulsi Malas, and you should chant on Tulasi's word, because all this will subtly draw your mind towards Krishna. This is how a pure devotee acts. A pure devotee always cuts you from illusion and pulls you towards Krishna. With Tulsi we should chant, and I wanted to make now an experiment with you. You have seen how our Japa retreat team has changed the room. Have you noticed Tulsi Devi? So I would very much like to now go immediately with you into an exercise where you pray for Tulsi's mercy. We will do this in a moment. But first you please sit around Tulsi. I thought the Matajis have these three Tulsi plants, and because we will be facing each other and you will feel more comfortable when you face a Mataji, and the men will have these three Tulsis. So maybe a good organizer like Jai Krishna, you could maybe manage that they are distributed properly, or yes. And Hare Hare. Do you know where it is? Or let me ask, maybe go ahead. All. Who has? Yes. What? Oh yeah. I don't have so much time. The idea really is that you should just be able to see Tulasi Devi. That's good enough. Are you all situated nicely? Here's still some place. My dear devotees, I want you to tell you something which is very much sticking in my mind. There are many, many stories about the power of Tulasi Devi. One is, I would like to tell you in an old version and in a modern version. There was once this Vaishnava who had a little plot of land which he rented from his atheistic neighbor. And he told the neighbor, who was a rich farmer, "I so much want to have Tulasi Devi's presence. I know on your land Tulsi is growing. Could you just dig her out and bring her to me?" The neighbor always forgot. But then he went one day to his bullock cart to the place where Tulsi was growing on his land and started to dig near her roots, because he thought, "I don't believe in all this, but my Brahmin Vaishnav neighbor wants it, and he's such a good person, and he sometimes gives me prasadam. I will do this for him." So it happened that the day where the farmer made this decision was the day of his death. And the Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, had placed a dangerous cobra near to that Tulasi plant. So when the farmer came and dug, the cobra came closer and closer, ready to strike him and kill him. But she noted there was Tulsi, and an influence was there which prevented her to bite. So the Yamadutas came and said, "Come on, you're a little late already. You are our agent. Bite this atheistic rascal." The cobra said, "I'm trying, but I can't. There is some influence which keeps me from biting." So the Yamadutas, "Try harder." See, I know how a snake does this somehow. "I can't," said the snake. "I'm trying my best." But it must be that there's some sacred atmosphere here. And the farmer is surcharged with Agyata Sukriti. So the farmer finally was ready and took two Tulasi plants inside a burlap bag. And the Yamaduta said, "Get into this bag." So the cobra also went into the bag. And the farmer then brought Tulsi to his Vaishnav neighbor, who had asked him to bring some Tulsi for his bhajan. And he said, "Here is your plants." And he unloaded them from the ox cart. And again, the Yamaduta shouted to the... they were invisible to the farmer, but not to the Vaishnav. Again shouted to the cobra, "Cobra ji, bite him now. It's your last chance." And the cobra was moving in the burlap bag, which was now empty because the plants had been planted. He just shouted back, I can't, something is stopping me." So then the Vaishnava, who could understand by his purified vision which was what was happening, he said to the farmer, "My dear farmer, you have no belief in Tulsi and in Krishna, I know, but today you have been saved from your death." "Oh," said the farmer, "I'm doing you a favor, now you start preaching to me." "I don't believe in these things." "Then grab into the bag," said the Vaishnava. So the farmer said, "No problem if I can convince you that there is no snake or nothing here," and went into the bag, caught the cobra, got out, and the cobra was just around his head, an arm, and just the head was up, and he was going The Yamaduta said, "Good, now bite." And again the cobra said, "I can't. He is an influence. I can't." My dear devotees, Tulsi Devi has an atmosphere, an influence. And if you tune yourself in to this influence, understanding that she is a very dear devotee of Lord Krishna, you can get tremendous benefit by chanting in her presence. I have seen this. There is a village in Switzerland called Oberwil, Lierli. In this village, Oberwil, Lierli, some devotees are living. There is one couple who has a beautiful apartment next to the graveyard. A guest room, which is very much adjoining the graveyard. So they gave me this guest room for my use. And sure enough, in the night I was visited by 50 skeletons in my little room. Says, "Let me sleep, please." No. And so on. And it would always happen. 50 skeletons or 51 in my room whenever I was a guest. Finally, I said, "I can't visit you any longer. I need to sleep. This is a ghostly haunted apartment." But it was very nice and affordable. So then the grihastha said, "Well, we will worship Tulsi here." And they started to do a simple Tulsi puja. It's very simple. And then invited me. Many of the devotees who know me know that I'm unfortunately very sensitive. So they invited me again to see if the 50 skeletons would still come. I slept the first night there, no skeletons. Then I thought that was only because I was extra tired. I purposefully slept a second night there, no skeletons. Then I slept a third night to show them that the skeletons will still come. No skeletons. Tulsi is a pure devotee and has a pure atmosphere. And when you tune into Tulsi, you will forget all French woman football and wars and whatever is available on the marketplace of Kali Yuga. Get a Tulsi plant in some ways and chant before Tulsi. In our yearly daily prayer, we say, "Ye tomara sharanaloy tara vancha puna hoy kripa kori koro tare vrindavana vasim." Whoever takes shelter of you, Tulasi Devi, has his wishes fulfilled. You bestow upon him or her your mercy, and you make them a residence of Vrindavan. Morai abilas vilas kunyeriova nayane vibhosara yugaru. Oh Tulsi, my desire is that you will also grant me a residence in the pleasure groves of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Please Tulsi, bring me to Vrindavan. Thus within my vision I will always behold the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. My dear devotees, these are factual statements. Tulsi takes away inauspiciousness and connects you with Krishna. And I've personally experienced when I was a poor brahmachari, those were the days. I once wanted so badly to go to Vrindavan, but I had no money, absolutely no money. So I remember I went to one of our temples. I was preaching nearby and there was a Tulsi, and I threw myself before Tulsidev and said, it says in your song that please grant me residence in Vrindavan. Nowadays to go to Vrindavan, I need the mercy of Air India. they need to take me. I know one shouldn't ask for money, but anyways, it's between the two of us. I just prayed, somehow bring me to Vrindavan. And the next day I get a phone call from someone I had already forgotten and said, would you like to go this year to Vrindavan? I have a little extra money I don't need. I said, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. I immediately understood Tulsi was arranging this. So, my dear devotees, blessings are more important than your own endeavor. I request you now to simply sit a little before Tulsi Devi. And I should have my bell somewhere. Then I give me my bell. And I request you to just chant with me the first verse of the Tulasi Kirtan. Namo Nama Tulasi Krishna Preyasi. Namo Nama Radha Krishna Seva Pavo Eva Vilasi. And fifth verse, Dina Krishna Dasa Koi Eye Namorai Si Radha Govinda Prema Saraye Navasi. These verses mean, Utulasi, beloved of Lord Krishna, I bow down before you again and again. My desire is to obtain the service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. This very fallen and lonely servant of Krishna prays, may I always swim in the love of Sri Radha and Govinda. In this prayerful mood, let us now chant in the presence of Srimati Tulasi Devi. Let us absorb ourselves in the chanting of the holy name, like we did this morning, which means basically to just listen to the sound vibration, or more specific, to be present to the sound vibration, and to allow the sound vibration to enter into us, to form and transform us, and work on us, as the Lord in His name form wants to do. We will chant in our own tempo and our own voice, but we will be mindful that there are others around us, and we will not chant too loud, as not to disturb them, and just be present to the sound of the holy name. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Govaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. from time to time connect with the reality of Tulsi Devi. She is a pure devotee who came into this world as a plant to reconnect us with Krishna. And ask for blessings. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Yama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Yama Rama, Rama Hare 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 Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Yama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. You have 30 more seconds. Hare Krishna. So my dear devotees, I thought we will end the session in 25 minutes or so, and I was thinking if you have some questions which you would like to ask at this moment, this would be a good time to do the question and answer sessions. If there are no questions, we will just simply continue to chant. But there are some questions you have prepared yourself. Yes, Van Mataji is there, Gaura Nataraj is there, Dayal Nitai, Hrivoye, our Englishman, and so many, Raghavananda, Patita Pavana, our what? Thakur Prabhu. Yes. So, yes, who, our Mataji was first, yes. Should we chant the mantra while sitting or by walking? Is there a big difference? According to the Baladev Vidya Bhushana, who's an acharya in our sampradaya, japa and prayer should be done while sitting down. He quotes Upanishadic verses which say that meditation of any type, and again, japa and prayer are mentioned, cannot be performed while walking. Because when you walk, there is a certain movement in the body and a movement in the mind, a diversion, you know. To walk properly, you have to pay attention to not walk into the wall or against someone, or, you know, do everything with balance. And that attention which you have to give to walking goes away from the focusing the mind. So it's usually said that sitting is in the mode of sattva-gun, walking in the mode of passion, it's movement, and sleeping is in the mode of tamagun. So if you chant, you naturally would prefer a situation which is most conducive, which is definitely sitting. Now, after Baladev Vidya Bhushana has said that chanting should be done in sitting, and has quoted verses even from the Upanishads which say meditation and japa cannot be done in walking, he says, however, and this is a typical Vaishnav however, ultimately you must chant in that situation in which you can best chant. So sometimes I think it happens that you can best chant with walking. For instance, after eating. If you sit down after eating and chant, the tamagun will come. If you if you walk at that time, then is good. I always walk and chant after eating. Minimum one round. It's my regulation. Or if you are very tired, then it would serve you better to walk than to sit down. But generally, sitting is the preferred situation. Gaura Nataraj. Yeah. Prabhupada said many things about chanting, and one thing which he says is that while chanting, these appeals should be made. I'm useless, Krishna. Please save me. You know, that's an appeal which you do. It's a prayer. So that instruction is also there. I personally feel that a chanting can be done with prayers if you need the prayers to bring you into a devotional mood. And there's a guidebook which we find. It's the Gaudiya Padati. Padati means the guidebook for Gaudiyas in relation to chanting. It's called the Bhajan Rahasya. And there you will find verses which bring you in the right mood. You will find the Shikshastakam prayers. And you will even find, for those who are already on the level of Ruchi, that is, who have attained firm faith, that there are meditations on what Krishna does during the particular Ashtayamas, the eight sections of the day. So this guidebook, Bhajan Rahasya, is chanted by the disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by the Gaudiya Math, during the month of Kartik. This would be a praman or a proof or a confirmation that indeed it is good to sometimes pray. Let me recommend to do this in a way as it is needed. You know, when an expert cooks a meal, he puts salt into the meal and herbs according to the need of the meal. So you need to see when you do japa. It is said we should do that in a devotional mood, with patience and meditation about the meaning. And prayers can in fact bring you in that level. As a last remark, the six Goswamis used to spend their time chanting, then praying their ashtakas, singing their ashtakas, and bowing down in a regular way. That's how that was the bhajan. Next person, the next devotee, the Vesa, Dayal Gaurangaji. Yeah.
So the eternal question is how to draw the blessing, especially from the persons who are able to give blessings.
If you wished to obtain blessings, you need to know how blessings flow, just like water. If you wish to have water, you need to see that water flows from above to below. You know, if I want to have water, where do I put the cup? Do I put it here? Or maybe here? No, I put it below in a relationship, and then I go, and then it can come, the water. It can be received. So if you want to obtain blessings, you must take a lower position, the position of a servant, and please the personality you want to have blessings from. And then it goes like this. When you please the heart of a superior Vaishnava or Tulsi Devi or your spiritual master or Krishna, then the still lake of the heart will be moved towards you with an inclination of blessing, and then he will give his blessings. It will just flow like a lake which is moved, overflows, and comes over the borders. The heart of the Vaishnava or Guru or Krishna or Tulsi will overflow if you please them. It will overflow over the natural borders and then flow towards you. So please the person you or personalities whom you wish to have blessings from, make their heart overflow with well wishes, and then the blessings come. It's really by the you know, you will hear all great Vaishnavas who accomplish something in any field, bhajan, service, and so on. When you tell them you did so well, they will always say, no, it's only the blessings. And they mean it. It's not just a polite fashion slogan, you know, but they mean it. They have realized this. Oh, it's such a discovery in my own life, my dear devotees, that the blessings is more important than, or mercy is more important than your own endeavors. We Westerners got it all wrong. We think we have to endeavor and make reality come our way by our endeavors, like in yoga. Some Western yogi people try to do this, but we all know we have to place ourselves into a receptive mood. We don't have to push, but we have to receive. And we receive at the moment where we please. Yes, there were some other devotees. I count. Yes, our Thakur Prabhu. Thakur Prabhuji. Please ask your question.
My question, Maharaj, is do you have any hints or advice for tomorrow?
I can't acoustically.
Do you have any hints or advice for tomorrow, for the 64-hour day?
Oh, what is your mother tongue? Is it English or Scottish or?
Australian.
Achacha! You speak very, very new type of English, really fresh, very. So, I understand. Do I have any inside advice for tomorrow? I thought, what language is he speaking? It was so unfamiliar. But it's a very fresh approach to English, yes. practice. That's my advice for tomorrow. I can paint this. I also know how to write. And you will get the idea. Yes. It's the same word, Thakur Prabhu. It's the same writing by the same writer. But in the beginning he tries to write in English. Then it's a little bit better, and at the end he has become quite perfect. He even knows he has to write with two times the C. This is the only way. You will bunk it a few times. This is what our Mataji said. You know, fail or flunk or whatever it's called, and then but you keep on doing it, and keep on doing it, and finally you will hear the name. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives us such a beautiful example. He speaks or compares chanting with the Karna Beda Sanskara. What's that? That's the ear-piercing ceremony. Both in the case of boys and also girls, the earlobe is pierced at a certain age so that earring or ear decoration can be put. First it is pierced, and then again and again the piercing has to be done so that it remains open. So when you chant, you also have to open your ear. It's covered at the moment. You have to pierce it by repeated attempts to chant the holy name. The best way is to chant, obviously, in a prayerful mood. So that will help you very much. Thakur Prabhu, it's my experience and the experience of many, many chanters that each one needs to find out himself. It's really an individual relationship. When you drive a car, you will have some basic rules how to do it, but while you drive, you will come into totally unexpected situations, and then there is no time to phone or consult your notebook. You just have to quickly make a decision to make a little left or a little right or get on the gas pedal. The best way to chant is given by, to constantly chant is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says four things. Chant in a humble state of mind, thinking yourself lower than the grass in the tree, grass in the street, more tolerant than the tree on the side of the road, and ready to offer respects to others, expecting none for yourself. This is Mahaprabhu's advice, but you know, but when you go in the 64 rounds day, I think you will do very well. Why? You have chanted for 3 days, most probably you have seen new discoveries in your chanting, you have done many exercises, you have talked with your retreat persons, you have written down notes, you are prepared. Now, whatever will come. I think it will be good because you are prepared for the chanting. You have prepared yourself in these 3 days, and it will be very easy and very wonderful and very amazing. Most of those who participate in the Japa retreat, or let us say many, many, always say this has changed their lives entirely. And it is because something has been built within them. And now, tomorrow, you will just naturally draw from what you have received or put into your heart. So I've given a long answer. I've given Mahaprabhu's recommendation how to chant. But ultimately, my answer is there on the table. Just practice, 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 and it will become perfect. By practice alone, japa, the fruit of japa can be had. It's only by practice. This fruit you cannot get by waiting on the tree of japa. You have to make the endeavor to climb the tree of japa and you will be surprised what you find. It will look totally different from downstairs than it looks from downstairs when you are in the tree, when you are in the experience. Trust that Krishna will give you exactly the experience you need. He will post subtle signposts on your japa journey, which you require to move ahead. He will, maybe you will realize that there are areas you can work on, or can work, I mean, should work on. Maybe he might show you that it's impossible, it's very important to control the mind. I will tell you a japa retreat story from America. We like this so much. There was this one devotee who chanted at a lake with his back towards the forest. Now all this time when he was chanting, his mind came to him and said, what if the bears who have been hibernating means they have their winter sleep, what if the bears come out and attack you? Well, he was chanting, and he said, no, mate, just leave me. There were no sighting of grizzly bears in this area. It's absolutely harmless. I want to continue to chant. But his mind was just tricking him. And again and again and again, the mind said, a bear is coming, a bear is coming, a bear is coming. Now, we have to understand it like this. This was the forest, okay? A forest. Here was a lake. Huh? A lake. And he was chanting here with his back to the forest and was thinking, bear, bear, bear. Now there was another devotee on the opposite side of the lake. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he was sometimes looking over to the across the lake towards the bear devotee. And when the bear devotee was sharing how the mind wanted to drive him away from the sitting place so that he would stop his japa, then this other devotee who sat here said, I also want to share something. I actually saw a bear who just had come out of his cave from his winterschlaf, his hibernating, and he was moving towards you. But I thought, he is so sleepy and you are so skinny that he will not be very interested in you, So I did not warn you. And so this devotee who was talking about his bear story could understand how powerful the mind is in creating a reality. It created a bear. It brought a bear out of his winter sleep, his cave where he hibernated, and the bear totally looked totally confused and disinterested into the forest because it was too early for him. And then he couldn't understand what was happening, and then he went back into his cave to sleep some more. The mind creates a reality. This is what the devotee understood at that moment. Krishna had arranged this pastime for him. So Krishna might arrange a bear for you also, Thakur Prabhu. If you think of a bear, It's a journey. It's a mystery. It is a spiritual practice. It's a meeting with Krishna, and it's always extraordinary. So my advice to you is practice, 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 and expect miracles. Haribo. Anyone else was here? Yeah, Edu. I saw Raghavananda. My question was answered. Then our gentleman from England. What is your good name again?
Dave.
Dave, yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. This is an observation, really, which erupts the flow.
We count rounds for a certain reason. It's that we want to be consistent in our service to Krishna. We want to offer the same measurement of service to him every day. That is what we do as a yajna, as a sacrifice to him. I think this concept, I lose it, comes from another concept, that is not a sacrifice to yourself, chanting for your own heights, devotional heights. Think of the chanting as a yajna, and then when you count the bananas which you offer, what do you offer in a yajna? Not bananas, the grains or the gold which you offer, then you feel elated and not losing it. That change of perspective will take care that you don't lose it or don't feel interrupted when you count it. It's like, you know, you say to your beloved, I offer you 20 roses, or 21, usually in Germany at least, we never offer gerade Nummern, how do you say? Even numbers. So it's 21 or 19. So you say to your beloved, I offer you 21 roses a day. And this is how you offer your, you know, when you go to the marketplace and say 21 roses, please, and the market lady says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, sorry, lady, you are already at 7, but you have only taken 5. Please start again. 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, in other words, when you're with accounting for a beloved or cooking for a beloved, it becomes something else than counting and cooking. It becomes an offering of love. Philip.
Since we have heard so many instructions of how to direct the lines and how to chant, should we stick to one or a few instructions, or we should change them from time to time? And could you give a tip when to change or when to
speak? Yeah, very good. No, please take one or two which work for you. It's just like if someone gives you a recipe book for cooking nice vegetarian dishes, let us say in a new style for you, macrobiotic, then you will try two or three recipes and stick with them. And then when you feel, but some other taste is now required, I have learned to cook now miso soup and sushi and I'm eating macrobiotic, but I always forget what it is. Then you say, no, now a pizza is required. A pizza. I know it's not very macrobiotic, but it's good. And sometimes we need that type of change after all. Or a sweet thing is required. It's just to keep the body, you know, just to keep, if there is a need like this. So I would say when you see a need to move into other areas, then you go into this. I would like to give you an example of reading. There are many of my God brothers read, and I have asked them, how do you read? And they say, well, sometimes I need just very good and logical philosophy. Another time I need prayers. And then sometimes, it happens rarely, but sometimes I need to read about Krishna's pastimes also. Then I go to Krishna book. So it requires, you have to be a little sensitive to what is your need. So take one or two practices which work best for you, and then see if there is a need which is developing, an undeveloped need, and then you can can do that. Yeah? A person on the path of sadhana has to really watch what are his needs and then fulfill them spiritually. That is what you have to really learn. There was once a very good spiritual teacher who had a student who could not understand the sometimes contradictory instructions of his teacher. Sometimes the teacher instructed him in one way, and then the next day he could say the exact opposite. Or like Prabhupada, he said to one sannyasi, travel, and to another sannyasi, stay. So, totally embittered and frustrated, he came to this, student came to his teacher and asked him, sometimes it's hü and sometimes it's hot. What is it then? And the teacher answered, it depends. It's like, and then the teacher gave an example. Imagine you are walking through a foggy road, and I'm on a seat which is high and overlooks the road, and I see your scalp, that is the top of your head, moving on the road. So whenever you go too much to the left, I will say right, and so that you don't fall in the left ditch. And when I observe you going too much to the right side, and becoming in danger to fall in the right ditch, I say left. What I really say is stay in the middle, of the road. But because you sometimes go too much to the left, I have to say right. And because you go sometimes too much to the right, I have to say left. This is how I can help you to walk in the middle. So it depends in our spiritual journey which instructions fulfill the present need. It depends where we stand at the moment, where we walk. Are we too much left? When we are too much, our teacher might say, you really need to practice austerity. You really need to practice austerity. I mean, and then if we walk too much right, then he might say, you really need to see that you sleep enough. You really need. So it's two different instructions, but both are correct because it's two different situations. Now I'm watching the clock. With your permission, I will stop now the question and answer session. I'm sorry that I was not more efficient to take care of all the questions, but there will be another question and answer session on Saturday morning. My request to all of you is to now take care of yourself, and at 7:10 this clock, we will just meet for a brief Krishna Katha, which will help us for tomorrow to go in the an inspired, blissful, joyous 64-hour day. So I see you 7:10. Hare Krishna. Ja, gut, dass du da bist.